You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
DB Weeby here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the Gifted Gab episode. My favorite part of her interview was talking about time traveling and reptilians and even mentioning Credo Mutwa. I really enjoyed that. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
Welcome back to another episode. I'm a DB Weeby show.
Why you do this to me, Demi?
We have a very special guest tonight for the first time on the podcast. Please welcome musician Gifted Gab.
That was amazing.
Did you like that?
I do. I do.
I believe it or not, I improvised it.
I love it. It gives me like Wonder Shows and vibes, and I like that.
What did it remind you of?
Have you seen the show Wonder Showsen?
No.
Oh, it's a
is
classic.
Is it on Adult Swim?
Yeah.
So describe, what is it, a cartoon?
It's like a kind of a variety type show. You've probably seen the clips have been like going around for forever. Mm-hmm. But it's like one of those kind of like in the vein of like an Eric Andre. Like, what am I watching now? But I love shit like that. So that awkwardness is like in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, I'm a fan of all that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Check it out later. Wonder Shows, and
it's
a great show.
For sure. This is great. You're here because we, you know, like I told you, I went down the roster.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be Blimes. It's going to be you, and it's going to be Gavlin all in a row.
Heavy hitters.
Heavy hitters.
Heavy hitters. Gavlin's like one of my favorite artists, like, period.
Oh, for real?
I fucking love Gavlin.
And I noticed she fucks with you, too.
Yeah, that's like sis, you know what I'm saying?
That's,
but like I've been a fan of
hers. That's family?
Yeah, that's fam.
So let's get your, I'm glad you're here. Let's get your story. Like, where are you originally from and everything?
I'm originally from Seattle, Washington, the Central District.
Oh, that's what's up.
Yes, yes. I'm a Seattleite. That's right.
They have a very strong music history up there themselves.
They really do. Music and just arts in general. Like, we're very
the grunge
artsy.
And the indie rocks.
Grunge, dance, Chihuly. You know what
who's
I'm saying?
Chihuly?
Glass blower.
Oh.
Painters, sculptures, like very, yeah. very artsy. Seattle's a very artsy town.
What are some of the best things about Seattle? Like, don't they have a lot of great seafood as well? Or?
Oh my God, yes. I love
seafood.
They have
like seafood markets and shit. Like
yeah,
that?
Pike Place Market. They have, you know, you get the fish and they'll throw it at
yeah.
you. You know what I'm saying? The weather, even though I'm a Seattleite, so I love the rain, but it doesn't rain as much as people say that it does. It's a very
great though. I like that though.
Yeah, it's
I
nice.
Like
but the
yeah.
summers, oh, mwah.
Really?
Best, it's, yeah, Seattle has like the best summers hands down everywhere.
And
it's,
I can't forget about coffee.
That's true. I'm not even a coffee person,
oh,
but if
damn.
You like coffee, then Seattle,
oh,
you
God, I love it. Yeah.
Yeah, there's like two coffee shops to a corner,
that's
so there's
up.
It's not even just Starbucks.
Yeah, it's just like all kinds.
Yeah.
Oh, and the people are, for the most part,
liberal. They are. The people are definitely very liberal. It's interesting. Seattle's in like an interesting place right now. It's one of those places where it's like, if you haven't been to Seattle before, it's really hard for me to try to explain what Seattle used to be, because it's very much gentrified, and it's also, you know, like Amazon came in and just like fucked it all to hell.
Oh, damn.
So,
when did that happen?
Oh, man. I mean, Amazon's been in Seattle for like a long time.
For a minute now?
But like just like the growth of it, like now it's like Amazon City. You know
damn.
What I'm saying? So you'll be kind of hard pressed to find like a Seattleite in Seattle. It's almost like a LA in the sense that people are there like transitionally, so they're there
that's
for a job great. Or something.
Yeah.
So you don't really find too many like actual Seattleites, which is kind of sad. But when you meet them, you know, and they're very welcoming.
And what's a dead giveaway once you if you meet one for real?
A Seattleite?
Yeah,
probably
that's
the vernacular.
First time I heard that term.
A Seattleite.
Yeah, Seattleite. I like that.
We kind of have like
that's
our
like
own
an
little
Angelino.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Dang, how would you? I feel like we're kind of like, I don't want to say standoffish, but we're like one of those, like, we don't really like you till we like you. Because it's like,
really?
We're like so much trauma in Seattle from us. Just like,
yeah.
Where did our city go? You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody's new here. You guys aren't from here. And furthermore, like, Seattle has changed so drastically, even in the past, like, 10 years. You know what I'm saying? That,
yeah.
Like I said, it's hard to kind of explain the essence because, like, almost all of those places that made Seattle or those people and stuff aren't there anymore.
Right,
they got, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
there's, like
right.
you were saying, high rises
yeah,
and all
yeah.
this shit. But so we're kind of like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're very nice, but like once we see that you're not like one of those Amazonians, you know what
then
I'm saying?
You're good.
You're good.
So, because we're in a fucked up time right now. Like,
mm-hmm.
did you know, like, what changes have you noticed, like, just being in LA as well? Because I talked about this with Blinds,
mm-hmm.
about just like the homelessness and shit. Like there's tents on my block right now. I mean, it's kind of, they're in the cut.
The homelessness
but some
is crazy.
Tents, cities and stuff. Everything.
Yo,
yeah.
I thought Seattle was bad for homelessness,
oh,
and
no.
it's pretty bad. But like when I moved here, I'm like, this is like third world country shit. Like,
oh yeah, for real.
Yeah, like I took a couple friends that came out here to visit to like Skid Row because I was like, you won't believe like how. Like, this is actually America. Like, this isn't a third world country. We, you know, drive through Skid Row.
Oh,
and
my
like,
therapist was on Winston.
Oh, shit.
Like, right there on Winston. So, I know.
Oh, yeah. You got
like,
all the craziness.
I've skated on there. I've smelled the smells.
Yeah.
I've seen people, syringes.
Yeah.
People barbecuing. People cracked out.
It's
you
pretty
know,
upsetting
crazy.
Though. Like it's apparent, you know what I'm saying? Like before, and I've seen a couple like Skid Row like documentaries or like you
me
know
too.
Things surrounded by
I'm
Skid Row.
I'm intrigued by it.
Very. And it's very apparent before even like knowing the information that like, oh, clearly they just like found a place in the city to put all the shit in one, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like to kind of contain it in one place. So it's like, and that's essentially what they did. They're like,
for
let's
real,
put
for
all
real.
This bullshit.
Real talk.
Like all the public assistance, all like the mental health. Everything
is
the
there
home, all in one, you know what I'm saying, couple square mile radius. And it's like, that's pretty fucked
even
up.
Even the shelters and
yeah,
like the food banks and all that shit.
Everything.
It's like literally set up that way.
Yeah, so it's
like
if you need help,
like
you have
zombie
to.
Zombie shit, huh?
It's pretty it's
like
pretty fucking
movie.
Insane.
It's like
yeah.
some zombie shit.
It is.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain. Like aside from just literally being like, it's like third world country-ish. Like people are literally in like extreme poverty.
But this is something that's even that I peeped is now they're like traveling.
They're moving out
outwards.
Of it.
Outwards.
As they should.
Like Venice. Like I watched this dude on YouTube. He's a German guy. I forgot his name, but he's got a great channel where he like documents all this shit.
Mm.
Dude, Venice is like people are just tense right on the sand.
Oh, wow.
No. Like literally. And then not only that. Even like they have their trash and all this lumber and all this crazy trash, and technically the police can't do anything because it's considered their property. Like you can't lawfully move their shit. There's like laws now.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
But also, if I was gonna be homeless anywhere, I would definitely set my tent up on the beach. Like that's.
I know. I thought of that too. I'm like,
that's pretty wild. Like just publicly, but like. Yeah, if I'm going to be homeless, and I can live right on the sands of the beach. Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, I'd get my Coleman tent. I'd fucking have all that shit.
Oh, yeah. The homies living right next to me. Oh, like, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or you know what would be even dope is, like, I would, like, go down, walk down the beach. I would look for a cove or something. Like, a little, just like a little, you know what I mean? Like, like in a nook.
Exactly.
Where, like, you could, like, do bonfires at night or something.
Living
shit.
Pretty lavishly.
Yeah. Like, have you seen Castaway, that movie?
Yes.
Yeah, like on that shit. Yeah, like some Tom Hanks Castaway shit. Yeah.
Hey, if those are my options, I'm not really mad at that.
Yeah. So are you, it really puts things into perspective as far as being grateful. Like, I have rent control here. Mm-hmm. You know, there's things, weird things going on with my building, like I mentioned outside.
Mm-hmm.
But are you grateful for just...
Hell yeah.
You know what I mean?
Hell yeah. It like, it makes you like literally whatever your situation is, isn't that fucking bad. You know what I'm saying?
Cause
it could be like this. Like you literally could just be living on the streets, and like it just living on the streets isn't even like the worst part. It's just the things that come with it. You know what I'm saying? Like you have to constantly, it'd be one thing, you know what I'm saying? You're houseless, homeless or whatever. But like you have to constantly be watching your back. People could be stealing from you, trying to hurt you. You know what I'm saying? Like that's just a really rough fucking lifestyle. And it goes to show that like, you know, there's obviously some people that choose that, you know what I'm saying? That kind of just don't kind of aloof in that way. Like don't really need much. But like for the most part, no one wants to fucking live that way. So it's like
you're living that way
and you have to deal with just the things.
The elements of shit.
Yeah.
Street shit.
Exactly.
Like if you couldn't have a gun, let's say you couldn't get a hold of a gun for production, what's the next best thing?
Really, exactly.
A machete.
Right, yeah, for
a
sure.
A machete, for real. do you know, I've been going down the rabbit holes of YouTube at like 4 in the morning.
Same.
I just discovered there's a place where you could live for free.
Hmm.
Have you heard of this place called Slab City?
Yes, I have.
So for those of you
there's
who don't know.
There's a documentary about it?
Yeah, it's on YouTube. There's a bunch.
Yeah,
there's
okay,
a bunch.
I was about to say,
so
I think
Slab
I might
City
have seen one on
is
it.
Like literally back in the day, like the military had, they would do like missile tests and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But then they like throughout history, they tore down the buildings, but they left the concrete slabs.
Mm-hmm.
But this is one of the places, one of the only places in America where it's like outlawed. It's like. Free.
Yeah.
So all you have to, you could just literally stake your little area, mm-hmm. and just start, once you start building there, that's your shit.
That's fucking tight. I guess.
And then they have their own like community and shit. Like there's one dude that has like an internet cafe thing that he's you know, siphoning the energy and shit. And then there's one person that they make coffee for like there's a little coffee shop.
Right.
They have there's performers. One dude, this hippie dude, built a stage, and they have like an open mic night.
Oh, I love it.
Would you ever, if things went to hell here in LA, because I've been thinking about this.
Yeah.
Like as far as living off grid and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be open to doing something like that?
Maybe not that extreme, but I have not to that extreme, but
okay. It is extreme.
That is super.
It is super extreme.
But I would actually like, I've always kind of have like dreams of like living in an RV for a little bit of time. Like I would actually really enjoy that.
That's so crazy because that was the last thing I watched last night.
Yeah.
Or this morning at
like
5
RV
in the morning.
RV living?
Yeah. There's people that just drop off out of society, they fucking just take all their savings and buy an RV, and they just go from like spot to spot and shit. You know, like they'll go to campsites right. near trees or it's crazy.
That's a cold lifestyle. I wouldn't mind. I don't think it'd be something that I would like constantly do. But like one of those, you know, like a couple months out the year or something like I would definitely just live on the road. Like that would be so fucking fun to me.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I would do the same. Mm-hmm. But if we were homeless, let's say we didn't have our apartments or wherever our housing, what would you consider?
Would I go to Slab City?
Yeah,
yeah, I guess, yeah. Yeah, I guess if it's like apocalyptic type shit, then yeah, for sure. A completely non-capitalistic society, like, can't be that bad.
Yeah, because you know it's like, in a way, it's like, the most kind of free you could be in America.
Right.
There's no governing bodies. Mm-hmm. There's no legislation. There's just like, there's no rules or law. I mean, you have to respect your neighbor.
Of course. Yeah. You like basic, just human
basic
laws.
Shit. You can't steal.
Right.
Or else you're going to be dealt with. You're going to be dealt with for real. Yeah.
Exactly.
So I've been thinking about shit like that lately, you know?
Yeah, I bet. Those things are like kind of becoming more and more like realistic. Like it's still pretty like crazy, but it's like all the crazy shit that you could like possibly think of, it's kind of already happened. Like we're literally living in you've seen the movie Idiocracy?
No, I haven't.
Oh man, you gotta check that out.
Yeah,
it's I think it's what's his name, the Owens brothers.
Yeah, Luke Owen.
Yeah,
okay. I saw the poster for that. What's it about?
It's like basically like a post-apocalyptic like society, but it's like so they make it like so over the top and ridiculous. But if you watch it
down,
now,
write that down.
It's literally not over the top. Like it's
it's happening now.
It's literally everything that's in that movie is like there's like they have this thing where like the only TV is literally just like people falling or like farting and shit like on loop, and it's like. That's literally MTV. Like, ridiculousness plays, like, 23 hours of 24-hour time schedule. And it's like, they have this super, like, just ridiculous fucking president, Trump. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, like, all the things that, like, they tried to make it over the top and ridiculous. And in 2021, it's like,
this is exactly what's happening.
It's actually kind of scary.
Yeah. It's crazy you brought that up because when Blimes was here, I brought up Back to the Future 2 where Biff steals the DeLorean.
Because
I have a theory that someone or maybe time traveled like went back skewed the space-time continuum like the timeline and fucking did some ill shit and fucking now we're here. What do you think about that?
I definitely can believe that because we're just in a time where it's just like you've almost become just desensitized to like ridiculousness. Like literally not to like use that word again, but like literally like anything crazy that happens, it's just like, it's pretty wild. But like, that could see, you know?
Yeah. Like, because
literally anything can happen now. And I'm just
especially
like,
time traveling is real, which I don't know. I have to do more research on that. But if the shit was real, fuck, you could cause a fucking great shift.
Great shift.
I mean, look what happened in the movie. It's like that sports almanac.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Biff went back and stole that. So he had this book where it was going to predict all of the outcomes of sporting events.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gambled. You know what I mean?
Right.
He just shows up and you know.
Exactly.
He wins $1 billion, whatever, millions of dollars, then builds this casino.
And stuff like that could change the course of, the future. It's pretty crazy.
And look, Trump was president. I mean, he did it.
He did it.
He did it for real.
Like, that was at one point, that was like the craziest thing that could happen. Like, even to this day, it's still like currently going on. I'm still just like, bro, Trump is really the president. Like, let's just like,
it was like a movie.
Take away everything and just that sentence, Donald Trump was the president. Like,
that's why
that's fucking crazy.
A movie. That's a fucking bad, that's like a bad dream.
Bro, that is so crazy. It is just like, on top of just Trump being the president, like, he's just so over the top ridiculous and would just say, just fucking whatever. It's just like, bro, we really, but it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, do we kind of get what we deserved? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't know, but, you know what? Because I did do some research. If you Google this, like time traveling, there's like these old black and white pictures. Like there's examples where.
Oh, there's they future
saw,
shit?
Yeah, like, there's future
like they
shit.
Like a cell phone in
like
1940.
They had like a flat screen like in the 30s or whatever, the 20s. This motherfucker had like a smartphone.
I believe it. He probably is some fucking reptilian ass.
Yeah, or something.
Yeah.
Oh, you know about the reptilian?
A little bit.
Okay. Yeah.
I love conspiracy shit.
That shit's real.
Even if I don't give a fuck about it or believe in it at all.
You know, that shit's real. That shit is real.
Any type of conspiracy lands on, there's like, even if it's the smallest minuscule, there's some truth in like every conspiracy.
Look up, folks, Credo Mutwa. This man is the most knowledgeable man. He's an old shaman from Africa.
Okay.
He knows. They referred to the reptilians as the Shituhari, the Shituhiri, the Shituhari. There's crazy examples and stories. This guy knew all that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why a lot of that ancient knowledge is from Africa, man.
For sure.
It's from Africa.
Yeah.
It's all, you know, the real shit.
Right.
When I was in college, rest in peace, my homie Kwaku passed. You know, that's when I was getting into, you know, rap and making beats. And I met, you know, the people that were like-minded. But my homie Kwaku was a part. It was a, you could call it a religion, but it was more on, like, the real alien, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they brought me on campus. Him and his homie brought me on campus, sat me on a bench. And they had this thing, you know, it was similar to like a Bible, but it was their version of, but it had, I kid you not, I was looking at the diagram, the pictures, and it's the shit that I'm researching right now and discovering.
Oh, wow.
But this was in the 90s. And so now I'm like thinking like, oh shit, that the shit these guys, these guys were showing me back then was right. Like the real shit.
Yeah.
Like they had pictures of like fucking the reptilians, Andromeda, like all different alien races. And I'm like, I thought these cats were crazy.
Right.
I was scared. I'm for like, sure. Oh, these fools are like, what the fuck is
this? Right, kind of cult shit.
But they had their own doctrines and shit, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, and it took me the like 2020, 2021 for me to be like, okay, they were onto something.
That's because you.
So
see,
rest in peace, Kwaku. That was a homie. But he knew some shit back then, for
that's
real.
That's because you seen just the progression of things. You're like, damn, this is seeming more like this is probably the least crazy thing at this point.
Yeah, I mean, if you just even look at history, like through like artifacts and like even like even the hospital sign, it has a snake and shit.
Yeah,
even
right.
On just on buildings, there's like even in China, the dragons and
right.
It's all throughout history. It's
right.
Like in our fucking faces.
That's
even
a fact.
In London and shit, like the buildings has like old reptilian gargoyles and shit.
Right,
and it's
right.
it's like okay, well these are different regions,
really,
and they're talking about the same shit.
Exactly.
You
that's
know
what I'm saying? So there has to be some piece of truth to it,
for real.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, there's always starts on truth, but like, you know, stories and like fables and, you know, almost the telephone thing. You tell a story that you tell to somebody else and it adds more. But like, it started on a truth. Like,
oh, for real.
It might
have
like went like way far out, but like it started in a truth. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that shit is fucking crazy.
Do you remember, have you seen V, The Final Battle? You remember that series? This was like in the, I think, 80s, like late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
But, dude, it was about reptilians. Where these cats come like from outer space as they look human and shit. And they come as like humans, friend, like, hey, we're your friends. But really, underneath it, they're lizard people. They're
oh,
like reptilians. Yeah.
Okay, write that down. I'm gonna have to watch that.
So it's called V, The Final Battle. There was a mini series
battle.
Fucking back in the 80s and shit.
I want to say that kind of sounds familiar, but I know I haven't seen it.
Yeah. God, we got off topic. I want to talk about more of your music. Sorry. Okay, let's get back on Gifted Gab. All right, so Seattle, when did you start getting into music?
Oh, man, I got into music young. I grew up in the church. My parents weren't, like, pastors or anything. But my mom was, like, you know, really, really religious and spiritual. So we were at church all the fucking time. And so, you know, that meant singing in the choir, playing the drums if the drummer wasn't there that week, you know, playing piano. I started playing piano when I was about 7. So, yeah, music is kind of always there, whether I was doing it myself or my mom had like a really dope record collection, and she was really into like funk and soul. So there's always like Ohio Players and James Brown and shit playing. So even though I don't come from like a musical family per se, like there was always just music around. Like even I might not be able to like vividly remember the memory of something, but I could tell if there was a song playing, I could tell you exactly what it was. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Yeah. So music has always been that. And then I've always been like a writer, or just
like poetry,
anything with my hands. Yeah, honestly, yeah. Like, if I could create something, like that's what I'm gonna do. Like uh-huh. even as a child, like I would make my own toys. Like,
oh, you
like
would?
Yes, I would cut shit up, make my own toy, like just creating nothing. And turning it into something
yeah,
is just
yeah.
like is always just been my thing. So poetry a little bit, but more so just like, you know, just jotting shit down or like writing raps or, you know what I'm saying, stuff like that. And it kind of just progressed into like actually rapping, you know what I'm saying?
No doubt. Who were some of like the first rap groups or solo rappers that kind of caught your ear?
Oh man, I've always been a fan of like witty rappers. So growing up, Ludacris is one of my favorites. I love Redman, you know, Eminem,
oh, Redman
like all
tight.
Those like
yeah.
spitters.
Yeah.
But like they're funny. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Like that's my thing.
So they had a bit of humor with their punchlines.
Exactly.
Or, yeah,
and, like the videos are always over the
yeah.
top and shit like that. Like I always loved it. I think that's probably what really like started my love for it. And then also like the kind of the rebelliousness of it. Cause you know, just being a kid, you're listening to songs and I've always really been big on lyrics. Like as opposed to when my peers
yeah.
are always into the beat. I want to know what the fuck they're saying. So I would go home and like literally print out the lyrics, learn them so I could go to school and just
and just recite the
and
shit.
And recite the
yeah.
shit like I fucking know these bars, you know
right.
what I'm saying?
Who were some of like the female MCs that you looked up to? Like, do you remember the first time you heard a specific female MC and like, whoa, she's tight?
Oh man, I remember the what's the song? We like the cars.
The cars that go boom.
Oh,
we're Tisha and Bunny and we like the dude, that beat was hard.
Yes. And I don't even remember how old I was the first time I heard it, but it never occurred to me that those were like girls singing.
Oh,
you know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then I like seen the video and I'm like, oh, these are girls.
That's, you
doing
know,
this?
To this day you could play that and then it's gonna turn heads. Like, mm-hmm. what the fuck is that?
It's a fucking slap.
Now I think about it, that was like they're just repeating kind of like the chorus, but it
yeah.
like catches your
exactly.
attention.
Exactly. You know, kids, anything like repetitive, you know what I'm
yeah.
saying, that's the move. I mean, with anybody now, but like most of, like if you really wanna, that's why, man, these motherfucking like YouTube people and like the ones that make shit for like TikTok, it literally is just a very basic, like very basic mathematics is just repetitiveness.
God,
kids just wanna know shit. You know what I'm saying? And if you just say over
fuck,
and over
man.
Again, and furthermore, they're the ones that's playing it over and over and over again. Like we listen to a song or a video.
No, I dissect
it. We're watching
shit.
It once, you know, maybe
yeah.
twice. Kids are gonna sit there and fucking play that same video 100,000 times a day.
God, that's a different time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as far as like, okay, so God, what was it? Can you look that up? We like the boom. I forgot the name. Is it Tisha and Bunny or something like
Tigra
that?
And, is it
Tigra
and
Bunny?
Tigra and Bunny.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
we
yeah.
like the boom.
What about like, I'm thinking more along the lines is like, as far as like, my progression as far as like peeping out the female MCs, I was like, okay, like I remember Latifah.
Yeah.
I remember
she's
like
definitely my top
MC
favorite.
Lyte and
mm-hmm.
people like that. And then later, down the timeline to like Lauryn Hill
mm-hmm.
and like fucking people like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Queen Latifah is definitely a major favorite, especially because she's just like she could fucking do everything. And that shit is just so inspiring to me because
she could act too.
Exactly.
She could do everything.
She could act, she could sing, she could rap, like, you know, as well as like Missy Elliott and shit like that. Like, I've
she's
always
tight
had
too,
a,
yeah, Missy Elliott, yeah.
a great affinity for women that could do more than one thing.
One thing, yeah.
And then it's like not. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have rappers that are like, you know, or whoever, literally whatever your career or they know you as, you try something else.
Yeah.
It's always just been, like, asinine to me when people be like, well, don't you play basketball? Like, why would you? Like, bro, people can do, like, you know you can do
more
than one thing. Like,
yeah.
it's totally
I mean, look
fun.
At Tupac.
Right.
I mean, Tupac just didn't rap. I mean, he was a prolific
right.
actor, you
exactly.
know? Like, he was in, like, some of the best movies.
Right, like, it's not wild to be multifaceted at
yeah,
all. So
yeah.
it's, like, really, I really love seeing, you know what I'm saying, like, Queen Latifah, a dope fucking rapper, and then, like, Bringing Down the House is one of, like, my favorite movies. She was mm-hmm. fucking hilarious in that movie.
Yeah.
And, you know what I'm saying, she had the Dana Owens album, and I'm just like, bro, what can she not fucking do? Like,
oh, she was
woman
killing
is amazing.
It, like, in the 90s, I remember, yeah, she was...
and respected, too, on top
oh,
of that.
Oh,
like,
right,
could,
right, right, right.
You just know that, like, everybody
respected her.
Mm-hmm.
Even, like, the male spitters were
yeah.
like, oh, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, there was, something majestic about her. Like, as far as, like, you gotta respect her. Mm-hmm. She's fucking doing her thing.
And you can see that, and that's the shit I like. Like, yeah, that's what for sure. That's the type of aura that I want, you know.
Oh,
what I'm
for sure, for sure. And you guys are getting up there. When did you start doing your own songs and recording?
Oh man, I want to say I probably like actually recorded my first song in like 2010, 2011.
Okay.
And then after that, I was just like, yeah.
Damn, you picked it up quick.
Keep doing that. Yeah. Just cuz I'm so into words, like just semantics are just my thing. So like once it's in my head, it's there. So like I'm one of those people, I go to the studio and I'm like knocking it out. You know, I might one take Jake, two take Timmy, like because it's in there. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't really need to.
Oh, that's like on some Jay-Z shit.
Kind of. Not so much that like I'm a freestyler, but more so if I write something, it sticks.
Oh, you know what I'm right. Because of the repetition of it?
Exactly. And I'll just keep saying it and saying it, whether out loud or in my head. So by the time I get to the booth, I already know exactly how I want to deliver it. I spit it, right. And I'm out.
Have you, as far as your, just your process, have you ever, do you listen to the beat first and the beat, like, says something to you, then you start writing? Or can you write without any kind of beat? I've always wondered that about other musicians.
I can definitely rap without a beat, but it definitely just brings it all together when there's a beat there. And I honestly, I don't mind, like, I obviously don't mind getting, like, beat packs sent to me or somebody playing me beats, and I'll be like, oh, I like that. But my thing is, like, literally, like, the beat being constructed while I'm there. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you like to be there during the whole process?
Yeah, yeah. Because I don't know, I personally don't know the, you know what I'm saying, like the pro, like I kind of know, I loosely know Pro Tools, but like, you know, like the beat making system and all that shit, like I really.
You just need one of these. You can
literally. I really just need an NPC. If
somebody
hooks
it
up,
like
put the sounds
NPC.
In.
Yeah, these are samplers, you know, and yeah, that's literally, I could teach you this shit in like a day. I'd be like,
fair.
Okay, this is what you do. Boom, press this button. Mm-hmm. You got this on this button. You want to lace it with this upright bass, then you know what I mean, it's literally, and this is what another producer told me, like, I don't know, I was like fucking with this shit when I lived in Arizona, you know, there's a little movement there, like this little underground rap movement there in Phoenix and Tempe and everything at the time, and I was like the prolific producers, I was always trying to like figure out like how you doing this,
right,
like, how you doing it.
Exactly.
And
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Well, it was on some Jedi. It still is on some Jedi secrecy. You know,
very much
I'm not like that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, if I have the knowledge and you want to learn, I'll show you what my little techniques.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
But back then,
yeah,
they
no
didn't
one was
give
telling
me
you that.
Nothing. Mm-mm. They actually, you know, let's say this is the right direction. Mm-hmm. They sent me this way.
Oh no, so
they're
that's
like,
not cool.
You know, they're very vague.
Right,
and
right.
It's like, fuck. And this goes to show those like major lessons learned. I'm like, okay. Well, I'm learning. I just got to figure it out myself.
Pretty much.
So, literally, that was
or
the first.
Watch as much as you can. Just as if you can peek, you know what I'm saying?
No. Back then, there was no YouTube tutorials.
No. I'm saying, like, literally watching them do it and be like, oh, okay, so you press that button.
Oh, right. No. But with these machines, that they wouldn't have these at gigs and shit. This is the shit they'd have in their bedrooms, in their closet.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
on
you're
some
not privy
secrecy
to.
Shit.
Right.
So, this is the thing. You'd have to just sit down. It's trial and error.
Right.
You're like, oh, fuck, what does this button do?
Yeah.
Hours of that.
Yeah, I'm about to say.
But,
see,
like, if you really
want
to learn how to, like, I'm not, I don't, like, I had homies who are more proficient with the NPCs.
Mm-hmm.
I had an NPC 60 and I fucking got frustrated. I thought it was like a lemon and I should have held on to it.
Yeah.
But I just sold it back to Guitar Center right away.
Man.
But then these, like, I'm good with the boss samplers. I know how to fucking do all this shit.
Nice.
But as far as, like, I'm sorry for getting off topic. I get really excited talking about this shit. But you mentioned that when you do your thing, you want to be there while he's creating it.
Mm-hmm. So I can give, you know what I'm saying, my little two cents. Like I said, I don't know how to actually make the beat on my own, but I know exactly how I want it to sound. I know the sounds I want to hear. I know all the things that I want. So if I could kind of help you co-produce it, mm-hmm. that's more my style.
And then have you ever done this where you're writing your shit, you have all your whole song written mm-hmm. down, but then you just scrap it and start
all the time.
I just went through that. I just finished up a project in mm-hmm. like this notebook. Like, there's like songs where I wrote the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wrote the whole thing and like I just rewrote the whole. I didn't like
it. Oh, wow.
I'm just like, oh, there's that part. And then I did like, you know, this. I know this looks like a crazy person's mm-hmm. journal.
Hey, but you have your own type of organization. Yeah,
but it's,
I get it.
But it's like I just scrapped a lot of the shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I had a hard time because I'm like, I grow attached to
it. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, fuck, what? This is the way I fucking did it.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're like, there comes a time where you have to let it go.
Yeah, yeah. I believe in that. I mean, in anything, even if I'm writing a beat and I'm getting stuck on it, like, the repetitiveness of that beat will almost like put me into a trance where I'm like, okay, pause this. Either we move on to something else and I come back, or let's like smoke, watch some something. Like, let me
to get your mind.
Exactly. Like, let me like detach from this for a second and come back. And I'll always come back with a different.
So to recalibrate.
Exactly. You have to.
The reset button is pushed.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very vital. Like, I'll do the same shit where, cause I've sat here hours.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can't force it.
You cannot.
Because I've tried.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried to sit here and be like, I'm just going to trudge through this shit.
And you can tell. You can hear it when it's forced.
Yeah. So sometimes I'll just be like, fuck this shit. Mm-hmm. I'm going
to. But it's totally fine to say fuck this shit for now and move on to something else and come back. I'll play video games.
I'll just be like, I'll play Warzone for like 3 hours. I don't give a fuck.
Exactly. Come back to it later.
My heart's in the right place. Right. You know? I'm going to come back to it.
That's why lunch breaks and like recess and shit exist. Like, you have to like step away from the shit for a second. Oh, you know what I'm saying? And then come back.
That's interesting. Like, as a kid.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to make a kid sit there and stare at a book for 8 hours. You're going to get nut. After the first hour and a half mark, that kid is fucking burnt.
No. You got to give that kid some food. They need a snack and they need sun.
You need to run around. You need to like literally just shift your mind and do something completely the opposite. And then you come back and you're, you know, like you said, recalibrated.
No, I feel you. I mm-hmm. totally agree. Can I share with you another example of like some of the stuff that I went through completing this project?
Mm-hmm.
So my last song, I had the perfect cut. This beat, the beat that I made, and mm-hmm. I usually jot down shit like, oh, where did I off the record? Like, mm-hmm. where did I? But this beat, I'm like, I didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, I just, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I just put things away. And then with this sampler, I was not, I should have been paying attention,
mm-hmm.
but it's a little older, so it's kind of like janky in a way.
Yeah.
So I fucking was just going to erase one sample off one button.
Oh, shit.
And that's, for the most part, it should be a simple process, right? Right. You just press this, erase, and press that button again to erase it, right?
Right. You're good
so to go. I don't know what I was doing. I was sitting there, and before I let the thing complete the process,
mm-hmm.
I turned the sampler off.
Oh. Because
I thought I'd, you know, sometimes my mind's like on 100 things.
Yeah.
Like, oh, fuck, you know?
Yeah,
I just turned it off, and that. I'm like, oh, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm like, the next time I turned on the sampler,
my shit was gone.
Everything was erased.
Ugh.
And this is something I was so excited when I found the particular samples and the loop and the way I was like, you know, figuring out the sequence.
Took you some fucking time to do.
Yeah. So I'm going to share this story. I had to do some Buddhist shit. Detachment.
Yeah.
I went through all kinds of mind fucking demons. The demons were attacking me.
Got it.
I tried. This is what I've tried to replicate it. I'm like, because I don't know if because I'm a Virgo. I don't know what it is. But I'm like, you know what? I'm going to just fucking remake that shit.
Yeah.
I spent another 8 hours, like whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
7-8 hours time trying to do that. I got 75% of it. But the main meat and potatoes, like the obscure samples
gone.
That I found.
Yeah.
Gone.
Damn, that's disheartening.
So, you might be asking yourself, what'd you do next?
Right. What did you do next?
I had a fucking... I felt like punching a hole through the wall. And I was literally praying. I was like, I don't know if there's a God. Yeah. I was praying. I was like,
somebody help.
Something out there. Like, is this, if this, and then I went through this. I'm like, if this is meant to be, all right. You know what I'm saying? I mean, to me, it might not seem like shit to people out there. Like, it's not like a mansion or a Lamborghini or
only an artist or creative will understand that pain.
To me, it was. To me, it was a golden fucking nugget that it was like a diamond that I found.
Yeah, like, you just dropped it in like the gutter,
in the fucking river, man.
Yeah.
So I went through some Buddha shit, and I'm like, okay, well, I had to accept acceptance.
Yeah.
So I had to accept it, and I sat here long and hard.
Those grief stages.
Yeah, it was a grief stage, and I go, fuck. All right, I'm not gonna replicate. I'm not gonna remake that what I did.
Right.
I have to do something, and then I think I waited because I was so depressed.
Yeah.
And I was on 90. I was all close to completing the project. This was my last fucking song that I had to write. This is my 10th song. I'm like, I'm just gonna do 10 songs. You know, and just whatever. You know, I made all the. Did all the production, did everything, made it to that point, and I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna do something fresh,
right?
Like, this never fucking happened.
Mm.
So that's what I did, and then this is the lesson to be learned.
Mm.
It wasn't that the thing that I lost, but it was something that was still tight that I found something else,
right?
So that goes to show there's a lesson learned where. And this could go with anything. Once you let completely close the door and accept it, that's when the other doors will open and be like, well, what about that? What about that? Exactly. What about that? So I'm sorry.
But boy, it can be so hard to close that fucking door.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You usually got to want to like leave it open a little bit, but it's just like, no, you got like, bro, you there's nothing that can be done.
Peek in there and be like, oh, God,
right.
I really like that door.
Yeah.
I really was attached to that door. And not only that, what was inside that room.
Right.
I like that fucking the way the cabinet was in there. Exactly. The dresser was right there.
It's like, bro, you can make another room. Like, you can.
But there's other rooms here that might open up.
I like that one, but that one's not available. And like, what do you want me to do?
Sorry for the drawn out story.
No,
I just thought I'd have to share that from like, artist to artist as far as like the process and the grief involved sometimes. And I've been there.
I think every artist has lost something, whether it been like someone stole their laptop or, you know what I'm saying, like a hard drive crapped out. Or for me, I remember my last, I've had a couple major losses. Like one time my computer that had like, this was during like LimeWire days.
Oh yeah, I remember LimeWire.
And I for like a solid couple years, I was dedicated to like getting, cause like I'm such a, I like what I like person. Like,
oh, me
I just
too.
Like the things I like. I'm not opposed to trying new things, but like, I'm immediately going to go to the thing.
You don't have to tell me twice. Right. I'm exactly the same fucking way.
So even down to music, where it's like
you like your, I like this type of ice cream.
Mm-hmm. That's my thing.
That's my shit. Don't tell me these other flavors.
Right.
I like this.
I might try it, but like, I'm gonna go with this one because it's always a good time. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, I like what I like. So it's like, even in the midst of me liking what I like, there's still things that have been like untapped. So it's like,
what do you mean by that?
Like, you know, you listen to an artist and you love this fucking album, but it's like, it never kind of occurs to you that like, Oh, he has a discography. Like, there's probably, he probably has another album that I haven't even fucking heard.
Right. So for that's several what
years,
you meant.
For 7 years, I went through like all these artists I love. Okay, I want to get every single piece of music that they've ever fucking made. So
so you go to the back catalog.
Back catalog. And it took me like several years to build this like insane discography of like everybody you can fucking think of, from like literally from like Met the Man to like Herbie Hancock. Like I was like, I wanted everything.
You know, it's crazy you said Met the Man, because I just looked at your hand and I just realized you got a fucking Wu-Tang.
I do.
She's got a Wu-Tang for the symbol. Children. That's fuck, dude. I got that's what's up. So let's that's some dedication there.
It is. I fucking love that.
I feel the same way. You know, I don't have my Wu-Tang tattoo, but I felt the Get same it. Way when I felt, because I was telling Blimes the first time I heard Wu-Tang, my homie had the fucking tape single "Protect Your Neck," but on the flip side, it was the Method Man song, and that's And then that really, well, Protect Your Neck really caught my attention, because I'm like, who are these fucking dudes?
Right.
But then that flip side.
You're like, I'm who like, is this dude?
Yeah, exactly. That B side, I was like, who the fuck is this guy?
Right.
And
exactly.
Then was his first album Tikal? Yeah, Tikal. Yes. So, and then when I bought that shit, and then I'm like, oh, this guy is on some other shit.
Yeah. He's that another, he just doesn't fucking, he doesn't fucking miss.
Gray cloud shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's never written, it's very, very hard to find like an artist that has never really put out anything like lackluster. Like every verse Method Man has ever delivered has hit. Like it's just, his stats are fucking insane. Like no, every single time he steps up to the mic, it's like, he knows exactly
not only
what
that,
the fuck
is
he's
trying
to do.
No one had like that style. That's why I love all of them, because everyone was their own samurai with their own like sword style or something. And he didn't sound like anybody.
Anybody. Yeah. Exactly.
Ghostface
didn't sound like anybody.
Yeah,
right? Yeah, exactly.
Even Inspector Deck.
Yeah.
He sounds different too. Capadonna.
Right.
He's completely different.
You're
too.
Like, wait, who is that? But I know, you know what I'm saying?
GZA, fucking all them. Yeah. Old Dirty Bastard, that's like a great example.
Yeah.
No one on earth even sounds like that.
Yeah.
Unless you're in a psych ward. Like, that's some crazy shit he was
doing.
Yeah,
seriously.
Rest in
peace. Seriously, you gotta love
him. Rest in peace, ODB.
You gotta
rest
fucking
peace.
Love him.
Yeah. But I'm sorry, like, I just noticed that. I'm like, oh, that's
no,
tight.
Totally fine.
Yeah. Okay, so you mentioned Wu-Tang, and I forgot what you said. Oh, it's the music-making process. Yeah.
I lost my discography.
No,
my
the
computer,
discography of other artists.
Yeah, my computer just like never turned on again one day, and it just like
a PC or Mac?
It was a Mac. Oh, it was like one of the first like MacBook Pros, and I was just like,
"How did you feel?"
Oh, I was devastated.
I mean,
I was devastated. And then a few years later, I'd let my goddaughter play with my iPod, and she was like a baby, and I remember she she like drooled in it or something. And at that time, that iPod had like all my raps in it.
And oh, in the iPod?
Yes.
The MP3s of it?
No, like literally the first, like the, it was like when like the first, not like the first, but
it was
yeah,
the gray,
it was
like the gray one.
But it was like when you could, the touchscreen one.
Oh, the touchscreen one. Yeah.
And I had like all my raps in there, and then it just never, she like drooled in it, and then it never turned on again. And I remember, I don't think I've ever been that mad at a baby in my life. Like, I was literally, like, told my homegirl, just like, bro, I got to go. Because, like, I can't do anything to this child.
Something bad could happen.
Like, bro, you don't even under, like, I have, like, years. And this was in, like, 2000 and, this was maybe in, like, 2014, 15. So, like, that was essentially almost, like, everything I had written as, like, a rap artist up until that point.
How many
and it was,
songs?
Not even songs, ideas, just
everything.
Like everything, because I'm just such a note.
So there's
like,
voice
I probably
memo
have at
shit.
Least like 1,000 notes, like just
so
in like
voice memo notes.
Everything,
melodies,
everything was fucking gone. Jeez. Everything was gone, and that shit. That was like the first, you know, every artist has those things where they're just like goes through those points where like, bro, is this even worth it? Like, I don't think I could do this anymore.
That's when you go outside.
That was definitely. That was definitely one of those moments.
If you quit smoking, that's when you smoke again.
That was definitely one of those moments where I definitely questioned, like, bro, do I even want it? Like, because if...
Oh, you questioned...
I questioned everything.
Oh, you questioned, like, should I be doing this?
Because there was such, like... Again, like you were saying, like, it was such a... like, the loss... Like, the magnitude of the loss was so great to me that meant nothing to everyone, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Everyone else. So you had that to, like... bro, I can't even explain to you like how fucked this is and like the depression this is sending me into. Yeah. And now it's just like, bro, if this is like, if I have to feel this again, this, I don't know if I could do this because this is like a death, right? Like I'm literally
grieving.
Yeah,
no, I feel you. And it's kind of, it tells you a lot about like people's psychology. Like mm-hmm. motherfuckers are selfish.
Yeah.
If like they can't, they're not going to relate unless, like, let's say you've never been fucking homeless or evicted.
Mm-hmm.
No one's going to empathize with your shit and be right. like, oh, you know what I'm saying? They'll right. be like, I'll move
like,
on.
You can
honey.
Imagine the feelings, get a but job. You can't.
You know what I mean? They don't know that feeling.
Right.
So that's how you felt.
Yeah. It was rough.
Then let's keep going. Like, how did you get through? Like, what happened?
Man, I think I kind of went back to analog for a minute because I'm just like, man, fuck typing in this shit. I'm going to just write my shits down. And then that didn't really stick as well because I'm such on the move person. Like, I kind of need to, like, quickly jot shit down as opposed to, like, let me pull out this note.
Oh, as far as idea, because you don't know. You can be in the shower exactly. and something
usually
might hit
driving.
You.
Driving is kind of when I come up with most of my shit.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe you're not.
Because I kind of zone out when I drive.
You zone out. You're zoning out.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no pressure to come up with anything.
No pressure to come up with anything. And it could literally just be I think of one thing and then I see something and it ties it together. And I'm like, oh, shit, that's great. Let me jot that down real quick. Sometimes it could be a word. It could be a phrase. It could be a couple bars. Like literally anything.
Yeah.
And I immediately have to because I'll forget. That's why I would be a horrible freestylist because I'll say something crazy and someone be like, what'd you say? And I'm like, I don't.
Yeah.
Unless I write it down, it escapes me. Like, I literally have to write.
Do you write like traditional, like how
yeah,
I do
sometimes
it?
I will.
Like
yeah.
pen to notebook?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I still do it
but
that
for
way.
The most part,
some
like,
people, they're with the modern age and they're like on the voice, the
oh, I have
texting
not
on the
post-it
phone.
Notes, but I have hella index cards literally scattered like, around my apartment like with, yeah. With just things on it.
Me too.
It could even be like
I mean,
a.
Look at everywhere.
Exactly.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a jotter downer.
That's crazy. Have you always been like that?
Yeah, I have. My dad is very much like that too, but he has fucking horrible memory. Like,
yeah.
He was one of those guys I remember my whole life that every single time we get in the car to go somewhere, he would go into the glove box, pull out his little notepad, and basically like write down like whether it was where he was going, what he had to do. Don't know why. But
I'm the same
like,
way. Yeah, yeah.
I think that maybe he just knew. He was just like, bro, one day I'm going to get Alzheimer's and I just want to know what the fuck I did March 2nd, 1992.
Yeah, yeah. You know I feel that because it's like even me, I've literally had an intention and then I'll go into the bathroom and I'll be like, I forgot what.
Yep.
I forgot what was I here for?
Mm-hmm.
I forgot. That's why I do it.
Yeah.
Because my shit's more like, I don't know if this is going back to being a Virgo or, you know, because Virgos are hella fucking everything has to be organized and in a certain sequence, like chronologically, I got to do this. I have that.
Yeah.
And I have to, it's this also, when I write it down, I want a sense of fucking, I can cross that shit out.
Yeah.
And that's like a brownie
accomplishment,
point to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I did that shit.
Yeah. Because there's nothing worse than just being like, oh, I have hella things to do today. And I won't do any of them. And I'm like, wow, I'm disappointed in myself. and then then I'll write down a list of things I need to do. And then I'll like actually do them because I can like physically, you know what I'm saying, see it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then do you kind of incorporate that, transfer that into your like completing a project as well?
I guess so. I don't think I ever like related the two, but yeah. I think I'm very much organized chaos in the sense that it makes perfect logical sense to me.
Organized
but
chaos.
But to everybody else, just like, bro, this is a fucking mess. But I'm like, no, this is exactly the way it's supposed to be.
I fucking
for
love
me to
the
understand.
Way you worded that.
Yeah.
Organized chaos.
Yeah.
Because like, it is chaotic up everywhere.
Yeah, it's like essentially, you know what I'm saying? People have like a bookshelf of things. And yeah, in the grand scheme, that is definitely organization. And then you have me with a pile of books and you're like, how would you be able to? No, I know exactly. Like, it might look like this is like just a pile of mess, but I know exactly where everything is. What, you know what I'm saying?
That's
and if
crazy.
You were to change it, it would completely throw off everything I'm trying to do.
That's
you know?
Crazy. I love that, dude. Mm-hmm. That's like a fucking album right there.
Organized Chaos. That is kind of hard, though.
I'm surprised. Organized Confusion never put out an album called Organized Chaos.
Oh, Organized Noise you're talking about?
No, Organized Confusion, the rap group from, I think, 90, Pharoah Monch. Organized Confusion.
Low key.
Those dudes were ahead of their time, too. Bruh. I'm still trying to figure out what the fuck that one of, the, like, th- this one of the rappers, he has a verse where he's talking about, like, queen takes pawn, pawn takes rook, and like he's flipping like chess lyric, like I'm like, what the, he's like breaking down like an example of on some street
that
shit.
That shit is like next level.
But using chess terminology.
Yeah.
Dude, that's that like album is so shit. Tight. Yeah,
That's next level shit. That's
next level shit.
Like Black Thought, where it's just like, bro, he's how one, he's another even, one like, too. A thing? How do you even like exist, bro? Like that just doesn't that even make fucking sense. How like
he's good. He's like a Jedi master.
Yeah, like he's like kind of synonymous masters. With rap. Yeah. Like you say rap, and it's like, bro, Black Thought, like he is rap.
It's already done.
Dang, see.
Time flew by.
Time fucking flies.
Okay, this is the time. Let's push. Your music.
Gotcha.
How can folks check out your music videos? Support. What's the best way people could support you, your music?
YouTube, because it's monetized, baby.
Okay, so and then what's the name of the YouTube?
Oh, man, we have Blimes and Gab Vivo. I have my personal Gifted Gab Vivo. Blimes has her personal Blimes Brixton Vivo.
You guys got millions of views on the
We do.
I mean, we peeped it out.
Thank you. Yeah. We have some stuff.
So definitely.
So YouTube for sure. And then our album Talk About, which we actually put out almost a year now.
Where can people cop that?
Everywhere you can find music.
Where can they stream it? On
Spotify, fucking Tidal, Google Play, anywhere that you can stream things is on. And the best part is if you look for Blimes and Gab, all of our individual discographies will come up as well.
Oh, separately?
Yeah. So I have 6 or 7 albums of my own solo work. And then Blimes has her own solo work. So, like I said, when you go to Talk About It or Blimes and Gab, it'll show up, you know what I'm saying,
so with
our
you,
individuals.
Since you're the one here, it's Gifted.
Gifted Gab.
Gab.
Gifted Gab. So you can
Gifted space Gab.
Yes.
And then Blimes is just Blimes.
Mm-hmm. Blimes, right? Or Blimes Brixton.
What about a website or what's your social media outlets?
Gifted_Gab on Instagram. It's same as Twitter. Gifted Gab on Facebook. Literally, if you just type in Gifted Gab, GIFTED space GAB, I'll come up.
Okay.
I'm not that hard to find.
What about, is there any types of physical merch people could purchase?
Oh, yeah. You can go to GiftedGabMusic.com. Blimesandgabs.com is actually we're getting it updated right now, and we're actually about to get new merch out.
Okay, when's that drop? Let's start plugging out.
We don't
out.
Have a date, but we're working on vinyls right now as we speak.
Wax.
As well as some t-shirts and some more shit. Yeah.
Did I miss anything? I don't want to miss anything. I want to make sure we got everything.
We got social medias where they can find our music. I mean, that's really it. I'm in the conceptualization stage of my album right now.
Fantastic.
So
yeah,
nothing to promote as far as solo goes. But
you're
like
always
hella
welcome here. Once it's done, we could promote it on here as well.
And I will be there.
And I extended that to Blimes as well. Like, and all my guests. I'd be like, you're always welcome.
Because
I know
you.
How it feels. I'm in the predicament where I'm about to drop something this week, and I'm like, we're trying to figure out, oh, I got to hop on.
Right.
I got to figure out. I got to figure out. Because we're in the day and age where it's not just the music completion. It's like, well, how are you going to promote it? Or like, where
but
are we
I will
go?
Say, I do like the shift of where before it was you do all this fucking, this crazy promo, and then the album drops. Now you just put out the fucking album, and then you do the promo afterwards, which is like, I like that. Why haven't we been doing that?
You know what? Like, even that's the way Eminem dropped Kamikaze. Like, it was
just
on
dropped it.
He
was like, okay,
dropped
now we're
it
gonna
one day. He just said, fuck it, I'm just going to drop this shit.
It's actually pretty crazy that for the longest time, the norm was the opposite way. And it's kind of like, that's kind of dumb. How the fuck are you going to get hella? But I mean, I guess there was a different just type of, you know, you didn't have social media and shit like that. So it's like, you want to hear about, you know what I'm saying, like Biggie coming to, you know what I'm saying, somewhere and like talking about the album or something. And then you're like, ooh, I'm anticipating this. But it's like, we don't even fucking know what this sounds like. So we're getting excited for something we don't even know. So why haven't they always just
dropped
the album?
I just might just drop it tonight then. Fuck it.
Just drop it and then people hear it and then they'll be more inclined to be like, we got to talk to this guy because we have something physically.
When he leaves, I might just make it active.
Fuck it. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because motherfuckers, because we're in the day and age where motherfuckers don't have patience.
None.
You know what I mean? They're like, where is it?
That's what I'm saying. You promote.
I get DMs from fans and they're like, I've been waiting patiently.
Right.
Buddy.
That's
I've
what I'm saying. It's kind of
really wait. You know what I mean?
It's kind of a tease.
They're waiting patiently.
It's kind of
for
a tease.
You,
and they'll kind of get like upset with you if it's like, yo, this album's coming out.
And then
they're just
like, well, fuck
bro,
you.
Just drop it. Like,
or,
we don't care.
If you take too long, they'll be like, well, fuck you.
Right.
I went on to check this other Korean guy.
Right. Like, you mean to tell me I gotta wait a fucking week?
Busan. He's a rapper from Busan, Korea. I'm going to support him.
Right. Because this shit's already out.
Yeah.
And you're fucking playing with my balls right now.
Yeah, you're right. People don't want... People, now. Yeah. I want it now.
Exactly.
Now. Like, you even said these kids, I want to see it again. I want to watch it again. I want to watch it again.
Yep.
Man, it was an honor having you.
Thank
you're,
you, man.
Like
this
I said,
fun.
You're always welcome.
Thank
like
you.
Like I said, we got a bunch of bangers. We got heavy hitters. We got Blimes.
Mm-hmm.
We got you. And then your homegirl, Gavlin, is... That's like, boom... Boom, boom.
Mm-hmm.
My homie.
She's
Gina.
Hilarious. You're going to fucking love her.
Yeah, I actually did a show with her back in the day. That was the last show I did for Leilani's Fantastic Damage album release party.
Nice.
We had different set times, but I was taking her shit. Yeah.
She's fucking dope.
She's dope. And y'all are tight, right?
Mm-hmm.
You guys are like in the same kind of...
Yeah.
Group.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as far family, like extended family.
Blimes and Gavlin are like best friends. And I actually didn't even meet Gavlin through Blimes. I just met her just off internet. I was a big fan of her DJ Hoppa. And
he gave me
a beat, and then we both got on the song together.
That's kind of how we met.
That's
cool. Mm-hmm. That's cool. So we got everything. We got everything, right? We made an hour, huh? Everything look okay? Okay. That was easy, right?
Yeah, it was very easy.
It was easy.
Very painless.
So there's a few announcements. I'll keep it short. We do have a Patreon attached to this show. If you want to support and help this stay alive, go to patreon.com/StevieWeeby. Our newest patrons are Carlito Lily, Carmen, and my man Dennis Doucette. Welcome. So my album is finished. I might drop it tonight. I might just fucking
fuck
make it,
bro.
So by this time it's out.
Nice.
It's out. It's going to be already out.
Cause I'm releasing your album.
Thank you. It's already been, cause I'm ahead 2 weeks. So it's definitely going to be out by the time this airs. What was I going to say? Instagram/QUANGOU. I do have a website, stevieweebyshow.com. If you want to get any kind of merch, just know the orders might be a little bit delayed because of, COVID. All my music's at stevieweebybandcamp.com. Like I said, I Feel Stir Crazy's out right now. I do have a P.O. box. If you want to send anything to the P.O. box, mail or packages, send all your stuff to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. box 1391, L.A., California, 90093. Thanks for coming through.
Thanks for having me, man.
And Lil Ray might be coming soon.
Come on.
My buddy Skip is a trip, feeling blue like a crib. Framed for robbing a bank, letting loose from the hip. He really couldn't predict this grip, a soul full of angst. Him and Henry Woodward Techers did a song and dance at bit. Oh, rodeo man in the west, you can. You're the best on the land to bless the sands. Do the bull with your hand, oh Skip, you can. Get that fucking bull, pull on that rope. Feeling still crazy, maintaining it. Making me wanna get in a plane. The pain inside my brain never ends sustained. I'm down for the count on the ground freight train. Living today, don't give it away. The peace and the praise, the rays. Shining it down to mightiest crowns, the finest of frowns delayed. Skippy's afraid, he feels betrayed. Live this way, can deal with shade. A spade, he made the greatest blade in a charade of pain. I am not a man, I am an animal, a male. I live by merit.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Time the lot of water about to sail. When my mother had me, I slipped out of her canal.
call the sailing ship is named after a female.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.